The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good evening. Here, the last Monday evening here of the year. And one announcement is that for the next 2 Mondays, we won't meet here at IMC. But we'll hopefully start again on the 16th of January. And it just felt like it was the wise thing to do, to be a little cautious during this time. We don't know what's happening with the Omicron and there's some theory that it might peak in about 2 weeks, so I don't know if it's the right time to open then, but we'll have a little bit more sense. So you have to look on the website and see if we open then I think it'll be the 17th of January. And we might require everyone to be fully vaccinated. This time it might mean they boosted it as well. So you might have to resubmit your vaccination card. Who knows how necessary all these things are, but hopefully it's good for everyone to know that we're being as cautious as we can be, and trying to make it safe for everyone. And so I find it rather amusing that the English word for the current last month of the year, they say it's the 12th month, right? But the word December comes from a Latin word that means 10. It's 10th month. So if you know Latin, that must be very confusing. And November means 9th in Latin. October means 8th. September is 7th. And so, you know, we're a little bit confused in the English language about what we're actually commemorating here. And we just passed the solstice, which is kind of a real event in terms of the planets and the sun and everything. But this New Year's Eve that we celebrate, this break with this transition from one year to the next, it's not a thing that really exists. I mean, it's not like it doesn't mark anything that's unique that happens in the stars, the sun, the earth. It's just a kind of arbitrary day that somehow was used to mark the end of an arbitrary year, where we're confused about the names of the months. And nothing really will change between, you know, from the 31st of December to the 1st of January, except the clocks that somehow, and the computers and all these things will mark the time as being changed. But in the non-human world, there's nothing really that happens of any particularly import, as far as I know. And even when, you know, we were fortunate to live in, I think we're fortunate to live in this Bay Area, which is so cosmopolitan, cultures and people from all over the world. And you can kind of go around different weeks in the Bay Area and celebrate different New Years. Different cultures, societies celebrate New Years at different times. Some mark it by the lunar calendar, not the solar calendar. So why I like this thing about reflecting on New Year's Eve this way is that we see that it's a convention. It's a construct of the human mind. Some people who made up this calendar, and we live by it. But I don't want to dismiss it because it's a construct, it's a convention. But the conventions and constructs that we have so we can share our life together. They're made by people so that they can kind of support each other or kind of be on the same page, the same year, and the same kind of communication together in a certain way. And if we share some of the same conventions, the conventions link us. They make a connection between us. And so, I don't know how many of you might stay up until midnight on the 31st, but I don't know if people still do this. When I was young, there were people who would stand on a chair, and when midnight came, they would jump into the new year off the chair. It really worked. They got there into the next year. The people who didn't jump got there as well, but maybe somehow you got there better when you jumped. But still, it's something that people do together. Some people party, some people come together. And there was a time when people came together much more in the last couple of years. And I think it's important for people to come together. And I thank those of you who came here today to sit this together. I find it precious that we're meditating together. Thank you. And we share these conventions. And they link us. They link us and kind of organize our lives. And we kind of share the conventions and share the life in some ways. But it's more, for me, it's more important. It isn't that they link us, but rather they're channels of communication. And the question is, what are you communicating when you use shared conventions? And that is what I find is most interesting about this, what I'm trying to say today. What are you sharing? What are you communicating when you use a convention? When you simply say, how are you to someone? Hi, how are you? And so a lot of people in English don't really want to know how you... They say, how are you? They don't really want to know how you are. You say, oh, I'll tell you. Sit down. You have an hour? I'll tell you. They don't really want to know. They just want to know that... It's kind of like a convention to say hello and I see you. And so you say, you know, by the convention, sometimes you say fine. And then how are you? And fine. And then you can go on to the business you have to do. It's just a kind of a little dance you do to get connected. Maybe a little, it can be a little communication or friendliness or recognition. There are some cultures where they say hello by, the word for hello is, I see you. Isn't that kind of nice? I see you. And so we're communicating through the conventions that we use. And this I find precious. And what do you communicate when you use the conventions? When you say, hi, how are you? When you say, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, or whatever you say, you're participating in conventions that we share. And what are you communicating? What is traveling in your words to the other person? Is it friendliness? Is it kindness? Is it recognition? Is it a feeling of shared humanity that we're in this journey together, we're accompanying each other, that we're caring for each other, that we are respecting each other? Or is it something else? Here in Redwood City, I've heard terrible things be yelled out car windows to people walking on the sidewalk. That communicates something else. To not say, how are you, to someone, you know, maybe that communicates a little more of an indifference, some different feeling. So what are we communicating in the conventions? So one of the things that happens when people practice vipassana, mindfulness practice, there's a kind of deconstruction process that goes on. We're kind of slowly deconstructing the conventions we live in. Some of the conventions get claustrophobic. Some of them are not helpful for our own hearts and minds. Some of them are burdensome that we live under. Some of them are just part of just our lives. But as we sit and get quiet in meditation, calmer and calmer, the calmer mind is no longer participating in all the conventions. And for some brief moments, perhaps in meditation, a good percentage of the usual constructs of the mind, thoughts, ideas of who I am and other people are and what I'm supposed to do and what I'm supposed to accomplish and my to-do list is forgotten. My concerns of work are put aside for a few minutes. And we experience a calmness or a peacefulness of letting go. We experience our life, our world, ourselves, to some degree free of all the constructs, the ideas, the beliefs, the to-dos, the identities that we live by. And it can be a relief to put it all down. And when the more we can do that, the more then we can see, we can recognize when we reintroduce the conventions, when we reintroduce interpretations, reintroduce thoughts and ideas and projections and assumptions and judgments and that we have about ourselves, others, the world around us. And that's a special place to be able to watch how these things come back in. So if you feel pretty calm in meditation, pretty peaceful, and things are pretty good and quiet, and you leave meditation to go out here to find your shoes, and you see your shoes, and probably none of you have these kinds of thoughts, but you see your shoes and you say, oh, there are those old, tired shoes of mine that really are an embarrassment to the human, to humankind. And I hope no one notices. You've now introduced a whole series of conventions, constructs, and ideas. To watch it come in, to watch the mind pick it up, oh, there are my shoes, they're tired and old, they're embarrassed, and watch it as thoughts coming up, and be quiet enough to see it arise and say, no, thank you. Say, I don't need to go there. I don't need to pick that up. This is optional. You could just then drop it and be quietly put on your shoes. They probably will get you home. Another option you have is you can see your shoes, recognize that you're going to spiral down in some kind of self-loathing around your shoes. Say, I'm not going to do that. Instead, you can look at your shoes and say, you know, I've had those shoes for a long time. They've taken care of me in many, many places, and we've been through a lot together. Maybe I'll just thank my shoes. Thank you, shoes. I'm grateful. Before you put on your shoes, you bow to them. And maybe that's a silly thing to do. But what a world of difference it is to live in a world where we look at our shoes and have loathing for the shoes, ourselves, embarrassment, versus one where we feel grateful for it, our shoes. What a difference. Which world would you rather live in? If you have, those are the two options. I know I'd prefer to live in the grateful one. So we come to New Year's Eve, another convention, and there's a lot of things people do for New Year's Eve that doesn't interest me whatsoever. And there was a time in my life where I maybe would have been a little bit dismissive of what people do. I think some things people do are probably not so healthy for themselves. But I don't want to dismiss people anymore. don't want to dismiss and be, you know, I don't want to live in a world where I'm judging people. I'll look at that and what they're doing. I'd rather live in a world where I appreciate people and value them. And I'll say, oh, look at that. People are having a chance to celebrate. People are coming together. Humans need to be together. Some of them do. And wish them well. May they be well. May they be safe. And if those are the only options, those two, to be dismissive or to think well about them and wish them well, I'd rather live in the latter. I think it's better for me, and it's probably better. It's the kind of world I'd like to live in. And so this idea that we live in the world of conventions, ideas and constructs and idea of what's going on, some Buddhists want to dismiss it all and say it's all empty. It's all not real. We want to stay with close to what's real. And some Buddhists will say, well, maybe they're not real in some kind of absolute way, but they're real enough in the sense of we have a choice how to use them. And use them well. You make choices like that all the time. You sit down at a meal. You could probably eat your soup with the knife or the fork. But it's a little more useful to eat your soup with a spoon. That's a convention, it's an idea, it's a choice we make. So we can make the same, we can make choices with how we use our words, how we use our evaluation of people and circumstances. And that is one of the powers that come from meditation. If you, in meditation, have learned to get quiet and peaceful enough to have put to rest some of the judgments, some of the ideas, some of the projections, some of the activities of your mind, just enough so you can see them when they reappear and see them as reappearing. Oh, there it is. It wasn't there. Now it's come. And don't give it authority. Don't take it being real, the thoughts, the judgments, but rather see them as thoughts, see them as judgments, see them as evaluations. The fact that you see your shoes as old, tired shoes, maybe they've been around for a long time. But then to follow that in the wake of that, of, oh, this is embarrassment. Just, oh, is that true? Just because I think it doesn't make it true. Because I think it, it's not so much about is it true or false, but in that I think it, is it helpful or not? In that I think it, how can I use it for something that's beneficial, that makes this world a better place? And this, you know, tireless or continuous dedication, love, devotion to making this world a better place. Why not? Why not do that? I believe that there are people who seemingly are continuously doing the opposite, continuously thinking about and how to make this. Maybe they're trying to make a better life for some people, but they're making it other people miserable. But what if we make this world a place that we care for people and try to make it good for everyone? And you might say that that's a moral choice. I'd like to say that it's not a moral choice exactly, but rather it's the more healthy choice for our hearts and our minds. And so even as simple as how you go to put on your shoes as you leave here, if by the time you get to the shoe rack And you remember, wow, if I rush home right now, I think if I, you know, really raced home and gunned my car and maybe, hopefully there's no police on the freeway and just really get there, I'd get back just in time for the beginning of the TV show. That's a choice. Or see those thoughts arise and say, wait a minute, what world do I want to live in? Do I want to live in a world that's rushing and dangerous? Or is there better things to do? Is there healthy things for my heart and my mind? Healthy way to drive, healthy way to leave, stay connected to myself. And that kind of questioning is the kind of questioning that I believe comes from doing Buddhist practice. Buddhist practice is not a magical pill that you just do the practice and everything will be glorious and wonderful. But Buddhist practice is one that gives us the knowledge, the material, the capacity to see what we're doing moment by moment, to choose the healthy option. In our words we speak, in the actions we do, and even the thoughts that we have. And to do that in a regular way, ongoing way, begins to kind of change the inner and outer environment. There's less stress. There's less fear and anxiety. There's less tension that we carry with us. And there's the opposite. The rewards are huge. The benefits are fantastic. To live in that place, in the present moment, where we can see how we live, the choices we make, and to choose the ways that are healthy for you, for ourselves, and for the world. Do the things beneficial for self and others. And all the conventions we use, the communications we have. To never dismiss anything, but always to see, how can this be used? How can this be a channel where I can spread goodness, freedom, kindness, compassion, love? So we come to this end of the year, beginning of the next year, and we have all these conventions that we do. And one of the conventions is to kind of review the year and to set an intention for the next year. And it's a nice, that can be a nice thing to do. And what I hope is that we keep making that resolve, that intention, over and over again. It's how we live our lives. It's not something we do once a year. And so it's a life, and Buddhist life is a life of making choices, resolves, intentions all the time, but not in a way that's tiring, but in a way that's obvious. It's so obvious that if you're going to drink the soup, you do it with a spoon. To try to eat the soup with a knife, it's, you know, maybe once a lifetime it's okay to try, but it's, you know, it's a kind of, you know, it's which is the easy choice? The spoon. It becomes that natural, that easy to live this life of choice, to live the life of being in the present moment, to care for what we do each step along the way. So New Year's Eve, maybe to this year then, if what I've said today had any meaning for you, maybe you can infuse, imbue New Year's Eve in whatever way you're doing it, alone or with people or anything, with something new or more dedication. How can you live this New Year's Eve intention, New Year's Eve event, in a way that it becomes a channel, a canal, a doorway for the best in you to come forth? Always choose the best in you and live by that. That's the opportunity that we have. So thank you very much for being here and being part of this and sharing this sitting. And I don't take it for granted after this year and a half of the pandemic that we come together and sit this way. And to me it feels very special. And thank you for sharing this with us in this time. And I look forward to seeing you again, having a chance to do this again, hopefully in a few weeks. The information about it will be on the website, so just keep an eye on the website and on the What's New or the calendar or something. So thank you all very much.